This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on staying safe during natural disasters. The participants are Krishna S. Watts, member, National Disaster Management Authority, and Sonu Sood, anchor.
Good evening, listeners. In Spotlight today, we have a special guest, Mr. Krishna Watts, member, NDMA. A warm welcome to you on Akashvani, Mr. Watts.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad to be here.
Sir, the whole country, you know, looks forward to monsoon. However, the monsoon rains bring us a lot of joy, but along with that, they bring a lot of challenges. As we have been seeing, you know, this season where so many states in Northeast India are reeling under floods. And if we see 2 days back, you know, there was an avalanche in Kedarnath Valley. Luckily, that did not cause any harm. So how do you see this season? How do you see the monsoon season? Is it a both boon and a bane?
We must remember that the country was in the grip of a prolonged heat wave, and the monsoon has brought a welcome respite. And monsoon is always very helpful for reducing the temperature, for encouraging agriculture, for ensuring availability of water. In multiple ways, monsoon is a huge boon for us. So we must welcome it. But at the same time, monsoon also brings floods. Monsoon also causes several secondary disasters, and we need to be careful. What is very important is that we need to take personal and collective responsibility and keep ourselves safe and secure. And if we are just learning how to adjust and adapt to some of the situations that monsoon brings, I think we will be very, very safe and that we have nothing much to worry about. We definitely need to be very careful is whenever there is a warning of heavy rainfall. And whenever there is such a warning, we need to regulate our activities. We need not travel, we need not go far, we should try to stay at home, and we should try to keep ourselves, our family safe. And we must take all precautions not to get into water, not to be in the open sky when we have lightning and thunderstorm, and we should definitely avoid going anywhere near water bodies. I think if we just take some of these precautions, we would really be safe.
Can you give us an overview of the disaster management ecosystem in place in the country to deal with the flash floods and other rain-related disasters? As you said, lightning is a major problem. And what are the major steps involved in dealing with such emergencies?
The country has been dealing with monsoon-induced floods for a long, long time, and there is a standard drill that is associated with it. This drill consists of preparing the flood preparedness plans at the state level, at the district level, and ensure that we have the necessary resources to deal with floods. Some of these resources mean we have the emergency responders, we have boats, we have flood shelters which are designated, and we have the necessary public health measures in place. These are the steps that are taken through a plan, and the NDMA and the SDMA, the State Disaster Management Authorities, do review these plans and take all the necessary preparedness measures so that the number of fatalities is reduced. And over a period of time, the number of people dying due to floods has reduced. And this has largely been due to the kind of awareness campaign that we have launched and the preparedness measures that we have adopted.
To, you know, reduce the loss to life, property, to minimize the impact, what is the role and scope of early warning systems?
Early warning system is extremely important, and for the floods, we have two sources of early warning. One, of course, is from the India Meteorological Department, IMD, which issues early warning regarding rainfall. So whenever there is a possibility of heavy rainfall, you would get alerts from the IMD. You know, these are orange alerts and red alerts. You know, red alerts meaning that extremely heavy rainfall, and orange alerts means heavy rainfalls. So these are the alerts that we get from the IMD, and this is about the rainfall. The second source of early warning is from the Central Water Commission, and that is regarding the level of water. the likely inundation that can take place. So if you are just looking at the level of water that is flowing in a river, you need to look at the advisories issued by the CWC. They would say that particular river is flowing above the danger level. And what is the excess of the water above the danger level? That actually determines the probability of the inundation. So this is how the early warning system works out. And what is important for all of us is that we pay heed to these early warnings. There is a possibility that the rivers would flow very high above the danger level. We should definitely regulate our activities. We should not go through those bridges, you know, under which the river is flowing, or we should not go anywhere near the river. We should try to avoid any situation where we see inundation.
So in Assam, for example, the flood situation, you know, has further deteriorated and more than 11 lakh people reeling under the deluge across 28 districts. And the state government has opened 140 relief camps and 359 relief distribution centers. So how important is the relief aspect of rescuing people by evacuating them to safer areas?
It's extremely important. Without relief, we cannot manage the situation. Some of these areas have been experiencing floods for as long as the history goes, and we need to provide all the support to take the people to higher ground, to flood shelters, to safer places where they are safe and secure. But just taking them to higher ground or safe flood shelter is not enough. We need to provide them food and drinking water, and sometimes it is essential to set up these relief camps so that we are able to provide food and water. We also need to think of safety of the people, safety of women and children. So setting up these flood camps is extremely important, and it is once the relief camps are set up, it is easier to provide food and water and also some amount of health care. So these are very, very important. These are life-saving services that are provided to ensure that people escape the impacts of flood.
So you feel that at the community level and at the state government level and of course the NDMA and the disaster response forces, everybody has to come together and collectively deal with the situation?
Absolutely. Disaster management is always a whole of the government, whole of the society effort. All the stakeholders need to come together, all the different agencies, civil society organizations, NGOs and Gram Panchayats, they all need to come together. If it is not a collective effort, we would never be successful.
What about prevention and mitigation? Why has the intensity of these disasters, be it floods, flash floods, landslides, or as you said, lightning strikes, earthquakes, why has it gone up? And what can we do at the human level to try and prevent or try to bring down the intensity?
So one of the reasons why is seeing the increasing incidence of disasters is, of course, the climate change and its impact. That it has led to more number of cloudbursts and more number of heavy rainfall days, and that creates flooding. When there is a extreme heat, we also have many other things, like we have more lightning activities. We also experience more landslides because very heavy rainfall can cause landslides on the slopes. So some of it can very well be attributed to climate change and impacts, but we also have other socioeconomic factors, a lack of planning, a lack of land use, regulation. We have not always protected our hill slopes. The vegetation cover for the hill slopes is thinning, and as a result, the soil is loose, and it causes the collapse of mountains or hills. So there are a broad range of ecological and socioeconomic reasons which has increased the incidence of disasters. But I would say that despite this, due to better preparedness and more resources being invested in disaster management sector, the mortality has been going down.
Sir, individual level, at the citizens level, you feel that there is a sense of responsibility which should be coming in, and relentless, mindless construction, unsafe construction should be avoided on a, you know, large scale. Activities which sort of impede the drainage of the entire community, like concretizing more and more of the surface area, these things also need to be looked at very carefully.
The pattern of urbanization is extremely important for reducing the impact of any extreme event. If the city is very disproportionately paved, then the amount of water that could permeate the surface of the earth would reduce. The runoff would be much faster. We will have much greater incidence of flooding. We can see across the cities, whenever there is a heavy rainfall, we see the incidence of flooding. It has everything to do with the way the cities have been paved, and we have not invested proportionately in improving the stormwater drainage. So one of the main priorities is to improve the stormwater drainage, improve the wetlands and water bodies within the city. All the ecological resources within the city, you know, vegetation cover, trees and all that, so that we are able to reduce the impact of extreme heat, extreme rainfall events, reduce the losses at the level of the people.
Sir, in the face of disasters, you said that your aim is to minimize loss of life, assets. What are the challenges in providing quick response, especially in tough terrains like hills or remote areas?
So the remoteness is a source of vulnerability. You know, we have responder forces located at certain locations, but if the people are in a dangerous situation in far-flung areas, in remote areas, and if the response has to be provided immediately, it's always a logistical challenge. So that is the biggest challenge for us. How do we deploy responders to the people in the situations that are dangerous? We definitely need to bridge this gap through preparing team of community responders, volunteers, so that there is an element of self-help. The community itself comes together and plans together to defend itself, to support itself. I think this is the direction in which the disaster management has to steer, and I think we are paying more and more attention to communities getting more aware, more organized, and more resourceful.
So you are organizing awareness drives and mock drills at the community level so that they feel confident?
All the time, awareness, the mock drills, all these state governments are doing it. We need to have more capacity to organize these training, these awareness programs and these mock drills.
So in this context, can enhanced water harvesting infrastructure turn this challenge into an opportunity? What are the possibilities?
The water harvesting structures are two types. One, of course, is that within the buildings, we have rain harvesting structure so that whenever there is a rain, we are able to take the rains underground so that the groundwater level is charged. So that is one thing, and that is very, very important that all the buildings, all the houses have this rainwater harvesting arrangement. The second is at the wider level, that we have the water bodies in the cities, we have wetlands. All these water bodies and wetlands are able to absorb water. So when there is no encroachment, that when these water bodies are able to utilize its full carrying capacity, they are able to recharge the groundwater much better. They work as holding ponds, so they are absorbing the surplus water caused by the rainfall, and at the same time they are recharging the groundwater. They also have a lot more surface waters. It is an extremely important thing to allow all the wetlands and water bodies to discharge their natural functions, yes, which is to hold and impound water as much as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Watts, for discussing various aspects of situations arising out of extreme rain situations and making us aware of the personal and collective responsibility which is required to deal with this situation.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on staying safe during natural disasters. The participants were Krishna S. Watts, member, National Disaster Management Authority, and Sonu Sood, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.